stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 72 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't gone and checked out everything that South Harmon has to offer, you need to go and do that. We have the website over at southharmonff.com, where you can get access to all the tools that come with the warp tool and the lab and the simulator. All of those, you can get access to a Dynasty team review done by myself or another member of the South Harmon team. You can also check out our YouTube channels, where we have South Harmon Dynasty, South Harmon Fantasy focused on redraft, and you have South Harmon Vibes, where T-Rock and Fizzle are leading you through all sorts of must-draft players, mock drafts, talking all things football. Early in the morning for you, for those of you who, especially if you're on the West Coast, it's a good show to wake up to. So if you haven't gone and checked out all these things, scroll on down to this show's description and you'll see links to everything that I mentioned. This week, I'm going to be focusing on a little bit of portfolio strategy. And in this case, what I'm going to be talking about is making sure that you are taking advantage of what you need to do in a portfolio that you would naturally do if you were in a smaller number of leagues. And in this case, it's spamming trades. If you're in a smaller number of leagues, you want to make trades. And so what you're going to do is you're going to sit through and you're going to look through all the other teams in your league and try to find a way that you could make your team better. Sometimes it's keeping the other team exactly the same. Sometimes it's, hey, I'm making both of us better by getting myself what I want and them what they want. You're able to kind of focus in a little bit more on that when you have that smaller number. But when you're in a portfolio, you don't quite have the time to dig through and do that as much. So you have to resort to a little bit more of an overall strategy. And for me, I'm calling that a trade spam. It's where you go through and you decide, hey, in all of my leagues that follow this similar format, I just want to make the same trade. Now, it might be trading one player for another, but the ones that really make a huge difference are trading players for draft picks or vice versa. And this time of year right now is the perfect scenario to try and capitalize on some hype for a lot of those teams that you know are either rebuilding or ones where you have some extra room to be able to trade away some players that have maybe gotten a little bit more of value than you were necessarily expecting, and being able to capitalize on that before that starts to fade away potentially. So, as an example, I'm going to run through some of the trades that I've been spamming over the past couple weeks. The first one is Isaac Tesla and a third for a second. Now, we don't know for sure what Isaac Tesla is going to be. And today is the day that Tim Patrick got traded. So it's kind of opened up that slot position for Isaac Tesla over in Detroit. He can be that third wide receiver. However, they have a different offense this year. They are not going to utilize the slot potentially quite as heavily as Ben Johnson normally would. We know that a Ben Johnson offense utilizes the slot player a lot. Well, if Tesla does come in and he does produce well above what we would necessarily expect out of a third round wide receiver, yeah, you're probably losing out in overall value by doing this trade. But can you really call it that much of a loss if you're able to get a second round pick regardless? Like, we aren't expecting that Tesla goes to being worth a first-round pick. So you aren't really losing that much value by doing this. And then Tesla in a third, it's two pieces where, yeah, if especially in a lineup league, are you really going to start Tesla? Like, maybe if you have your team built where Tesla is a starter, okay, maybe you don't do this trade in that league. But if you have a team that's built like that, are you really competing? So you're also just taking a third round pick for, hey, what do we use third round picks for? A 1-2 week starter running back or quarterback, the gap filler during the season. Like, that's what we get third round picks for. Well, what's better than a third round pick to get something that you want than a second round pick? So if you can just take a player off of likely your bench, combine it with a third round pick that's worth pretty little, and turn it into a second rounder, that's now a combination that can get you something that is worth it when you need it. You can go out later on in the season, and when there's that player who is a veteran that nobody really wants but is stuck on that rebuilder, and he's producing a bunch of points, like a James Conner type guy, go and spend that second on him. That rebuilder's going to be much more interested in that second than if you came to them with Tesla in a third. Especially if Tesla is just an okay wide receiver. Because they're going to look at it the same way I do. In Detroit, you got Gibbs, you got Amon-Ra, you got J-Mo, you got Laporta. You have so many of those guys that are in front of them. So what's the upside here? Well, I went through and I just spammed literally every single place that I had Isaac Tesla in a third, and I just asked for a second back. I only got one bite, but that one bite is a big boost to that team. I get that second round pick. And the important thing is, I didn't need to think about it. I just went through and I just was sat there. I was clicking away on my phone, just choose the next team. Tesla, third, find a second on the opposing team, hit send. I just doing that repeatedly because I can do something else. I can listen to the same content that I normally listen to. This is when I'm doing this. I'm listening to fantasy content, and rather than staring at the screen while I'm doing that and watching the video or trying to pay attention to something else while I'm listening to a podcast, it's all right, I'm just looking down at my phone, I'm doing it, podcast playing in my ears, videos playing in my ears. And it's kind of like a multitasking thing, except for it doesn't really require that much brain power to spam out a trade. And then usually listening to that podcast or listening to that video, it gives me an idea for another trade that I want to do, especially if I'm listening to like a trade show, which you can find an awesome trade show the very same day that this podcast comes out over at the South Harmon Dynasty channel. Just listen to that. And if you hear a trade that you're like, man, that sounds like something that I would do, well, then just send that trade out. Just spam that out too. And it just helps you get those little edges. And if you just send all of them out, sometimes some people will accept them. Or sometimes they might end up countering back, and that allows you to find something that you didn't even know existed. For me, this was I spammed out Marvin Harrison for a 2026 and a 2028 first. Now, why did I do 26 and 28? Because I wanted two firsts, and I know that people are valuing 27 firsts like extremely highly. So I decided, you know what? I am personally fading the 27 hype of those first round picks. Instead, give me all the 26s and 28s. I'll just go around it. I'll get all the other years, and I'm going to make everyone else bet that the 27 class is that much better, that a trade that they would do for a 26, they would not do for a 27. Great. I will go against that give me all the other first-round picks. A first-round pick's still a first-round pick. We're still going to have hype on all these players. So the college is still going to produce a bunch of players that NFL teams are going to want. It doesn't just dry up magically. Sure, some classes are better than others, but I'm going to bet that even in the scenario where we understand how much better a class is, that I can get pretty close to that off of the other two, potentially even match that just by having a greater number of picks in those classes surrounding it. So I send out Marv for 26 and 28 first, and I end up getting a deal done in a league where multiple people told me, I'm surprised that you even got a deal done where you got two firsts out of somebody, because people are very, very stingy with their picks. But without spamming it out, I wouldn't have known that it was possible. And it came off of a counter where they ended up countering a Marvin Harrison for Kayshon Boutte and two firsts, that 26 and 28. In my perspective, I'm trying to rebuild in that league. I just am totally fine with trading away players who I don't think are going to have a role within a year or two, who are not going to fit my team's construction. Sure, maybe Boutte comes out this year and he's a good number three wide receiver in New England. But I'm just not going to bet on that. And you know what? If that's what it takes for me to get two firsts out of Marvin Harrison in a league where other managers are so stingy, then by all means, I'll do that. The important thing is to not get discouraged when you see tons of people declining your trades. So between those trades that I've already mentioned, I also sent out four other spam trades. Ayuk for 2 seconds, Hampton for two firsts and a second, Flacco and a third for a second, and Daniel Jones for a second. Out of all of those trades that I spammed, I ended up getting a total of 4 deals done, and I must have sent out somewhere in the range of like 200 to 250 trades across my portfolio. Okay? It sounds like a lot of time that I was sitting there spamming trades, but in reality, what I was doing was I was just spamming trades while doing something else. I had all my leagues organized. If you're going to be a portfolio player, you need to have all of your leagues organized where you know at a quick glance, oh, what is going on in this league? So in my sleeper app, I organize it first of all by lineup and then by best ball, and then also based on whether they're competing or not. And in my head, I know when I see a league's name, whether it's pretty close to standard or whether it's non-standard. And so I just go through, and when I decide, hey, I want to send Daniel Jones for a second everywhere that I can, I just go pull up Dynasty Daddy. All right, where do I have Daniel Jones? It gives me a list of all the leagues that I have, and I just pull them up. And I know from going to pull it up, oh, you know what? This league I'm competing in, I pop it open. Oh, this is a lineup where I'm competing, and Daniel Jones is one of my two quarterbacks in my starting lineup. Okay, well, I probably won't spam Daniel Jones for a second here because he's filling a spot in my lineup at this very moment. Whereas if I go to a different league and it's like Daniel Jones is on my bench, he's my third quarterback. Okay, I'll spam him out there. Or if it's a league where I know that I'm rebuilding, I'll spam Daniel Jones out for a second there. And just having that quick realization where I know exactly what is going on makes it decently efficient. There is some stuff that you need to do and that you need to get used to when you're trying to do this sort of thing. The big one that I've talked about with some other people is making sure that whatever device you're using, it's processing efficiently. So don't be doing this when you have a spotty internet connection. Don't be doing this when your phone is getting really, really hot. Maybe try using an Android emulator on your computer if you're on Windows, Or if you're on Mac, you probably have the best scenario where you can download the Sleeper app through the App Store if you have an M Series MacBook. And so by utilizing those sorts of things, you're able to make this efficient by having a snappier, more responsive Sleeper app. But as a portfolio player, it's this kind of thinking that you need to do in order to make some choices as to how you're going to efficiently spam, how you're efficiently going to find out whether trades are available in your leagues. What I found out when I spammed out Ayuk for 2 seconds is the market's just not there for Brandon Ayuk right now. In terms of the fact that he's going to end up starting the season on PUP, that he's not going to be available for the first 4 weeks, nobody wants him and nobody's willing to spend 2 seconds. Now, the value is probably there later on in the season once he starts playing again. But right now, it's not there. And that's fine, but understanding, hey, this is what it means for the fact that I own Brandon Ayuk. Well, now let me turn this around and realize that some people might be desperate to get rid of him. As we look at our rosters, there might be some interesting scenarios. Maybe you held on to that Jerome Ford. Well, if Jerome Ford comes out week one because Quinshon Judkins basically isn't playing for the Browns at the moment, and he performs well, that Ayuk owner might be getting a little bit antsy. They might be like, when is Ayuk going to come back? I don't know. I need points. This Jerome Ford guy looks pretty good, and you might be able to try flipping Jerome Ford for Brandon Ayuk. But the important thing is to send that trade out and see if they're going to respond back at all. Sometimes they might just go ahead and straight decline it. Okay, that's fine. But a decline is an important piece of information. A decline tells you that, hey, they don't want to do that. That's not even close enough that it's something that they want to get that done. But sometimes you might get a counter. It might be that they're just like, give me a little kicker, give me a little bonus. And it can be the kind of thing where you take somebody that you had is basically worth a third. Like, Jerome Ford was somebody that, especially after they drafted both of Quinshon and Dylan Sampson this offseason, Jerome Ford's value went into the toilet. Well, if you can get some Brandon Ayuk out of Jerome Ford off of an antsy manager, that's a huge win for holding on to him this long. And so you're able to just start rolling these small little things, and you just need to get creative. Just come up with something that makes sense to you. It can be a little bit above, a little bit below market. Most of the time when I'm making these decisions for who I'm going to spam and for what, like, I don't even look at something like Keep Trade Cut or Dynasty Daddy's Rankings or Fantasy Pros or whatever you might use as your rankings. I just kind of come up with it off my head and be like, in the right scenario, I could maybe see myself doing this. Like, I could maybe see myself buying Joe Flacco in a third for a second if I really needed a quarterback and it's the only thing that's missing on my team. So if I can see myself doing that, then why not go ahead and offer that trade out to everyone? Let them know that it's available. Because if you don't do that, you're going to end up sitting there static and you're going to watch everyone do trades around you. You want them to know you're open for business. You're willing to do any trade offer. Anybody on your team, you're open to talking about. They have to meet your price, definitely. But if you send a bunch of trades out, eventually you're going to catch somebody who, hey, they like that price. They weren't necessarily shopping for that player, but if you're going to offer it to them, then they're like, you know what? Thinking about it, this actually does make sense. And so that's how you get those trades done. So for you, the listener, I like to assign homework every once in a while from this podcast. Your homework for this week is the lead up to this season. just pick a couple players who are in your portfolio, maybe ones that you go onto Dynasty Daddy or you go on the lab and you see how many of them you have and you say, that's a little bit more than I feel like I should. And then come up with a reasonable price and spam them out for that price. You might not get any done. Or maybe you get some done and you lower that number to a number that feels more reasonable for you. The important thing is to send out some deals and just get them in front of the other managers. I'd rather see 11 declines from my league mates and them all know what my price is on a player than to have them sit there and them not necessarily see it. And in some ways, I like this better than an auto-accept trade block. Yes, an auto-accept trade block does make things easier on you. If you don't have the time to spam out a bunch of trades, take advantage of that. Change the nicknames on all your players for the value that you're looking for out of them. But it does require your other league managers to look at your list. If you have an active league, you know that you make that auto-accept trade block, and then that thing is gone from the league chat within, like, 15 minutes. You put it in the chat, and the first 10 minutes are going to be people ripping it apart, saying, oh, your prices are way too high, there's no way I'd ever pay for that. And then they get onto some other conversation because they see three other people are there, and they're going to be like, hey, what do you think's going to happen to the Texans running back room this year? That now that Joe Mixon, do you think he's going to even come back this year? And then all of a sudden, your thing's gone. Well, if you pick a couple players out of that list who have some kind of hype on them, maybe you drafted a ton of Torrey Horton in the back ends of your rookie drafts this year. Well, Torrey Horton, there might be some people that are willing to buy in for higher than you bought them for. Maybe you can send them out and get some extra thirds back. Or if I've just decided to look on Keep Trade Cut just because I was curious how big of a rise Torrey Horton was going on right now, you could trade Torrey Horton and a third and get a late second. So you can spam Torrey Horton in a third for a second if you ended up getting a bunch of them this offseason. And guess what? Regardless of what happens for Torrey Horton, that is a win for you. Because you probably drafted Torrey Horton somewhere in the fourth or fifth round of your rookie drafts, or you got him off of waivers or something along those lines. And to turn that player into a second round pick before the season has even started, that is a huge win, and those are the kinds of moves that can accrue a ton of value on your team if you keep up with that for a year or two. And so you just need to go out, you need to let your league mates know, hey, this is here, it's waiting for you. All you need to do is hit accept and confirm. That's all you need, two button pushes, and now you're the proud owner of a rising player who you think might end up having a huge value swing on your team to the positive. It doesn't really matter that much in terms of whether Torrey Horton's going to long-term become a big player, because you have plenty of opportunity to buy back in. Yeah, you might lose out on a little bit of value buying back into Torrey Horton if you think that he's going to end up being somebody that you want to have on your team in 2026, 2027, etc. But by getting the value now, 9 times out of 10, you're going to come out in the positive. And that positive, you can spend that back in on the one player that you missed. So that's my homework. Go out, spam some trades. And this is something that I'm going to incorporate into my podcast episodes for this upcoming season. Each week, I do the Tight Ends Don't Matter segment. I'm also going to add on a player to spam segment. Whether it's, hey, buy this player cheap, or just sell this player while he has the value, while people are interested. So that way you at least can see some of what I'm doing in my own leagues in order to try and accrue some of this value over the course of the season as we're seeing things fly by week by week. That's everything that I have for this week. Please do go check out everything we have over at southharmonff.com. Check out our partners at Ultimate Autographs, which you can find down in the description, or with our friends over at Fanatics at certifiedsh.it. That's everything for this week, and as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week for some Week 1 football.